As we come to our message this morning, we're going to Philippians, Paul's words that are famous words as we think of the words of Scripture and some of the things that we oftentimes think of and remember. Excuse me. As we come to the end of the year and thinking about that, and thinking about who we are as a congregation, as a congregation that we have many who are older and aging, and thinking of our regular lives and how we look at life and how we do life, wanted to talk about finishing well. And this passage from Paul is one that helps us in thinking about that. I want to read from chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 12 through verse 1 of chapter 4. Listen to God's word. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Paul's words to us as we think about life and living. And as I often say, God's word, the gospel, is given to us for life and for living. And so that's why, as I read God's word and look at it, I read it to find out what God wants for me in terms of life and living. Today we want to talk about finishing well and what Paul has to say to us in regard to that. Paul says, forgetting what is behind. You know, we cannot live in the past, no matter what that is, whether it's our past successes or whether it's our past failures. We can't go backwards. We can't turn the clock back. We need to let the past be the past. Forget what is behind, Paul says. Now, the past is part of who we are now. There's no question of that. It's part of what has made us who we are. However, we cannot blame past decisions today for how we make our decisions. We can't blame what is in the past for how we deal with life now. We have to choose to live now. Now, as you know and I've talked about, I read Western novels. I like Louis L'Amour. And in the Old West, one of the things they said about people was, well, they didn't even care what their name was necessarily, what their heritage was, because the past didn't matter. All that mattered was how they lived now and what they did now. Now, you know, our past is important. And particularly as I share in funerals, I share with families that, you know, you need to look back. Take time to remember the past and those who are gone. For mom, you know, dad's been gone a month or thereabouts now. And, you know, there's remembering. Every day there's remembering. And yes, it's important to remember, but we don't live back there. Mom can't go back and find dad at home, in bed, or wherever. He's gone. That's the past. We don't live in the past. You know, Paul says, forget what is behind. Yeah, you know, there's a yes and a no to that, because there are important things about that, but we cannot live back there. So we need to move ahead. Paul says, forget what is in the past. Don't give it any mental energy in terms of where you are now and where you're going. But Paul says, rather, press on toward the goal. Press on toward the goal. It doesn't matter where we are in life. We should always have goals ahead of us. This is a forever living attitude, okay? This is one of those forever attitudes that, you know, I preach to myself and, you know, I tell others. We always need to have this attitude of pressing forward, this attitude of setting goals that are out ahead of us, whatever they may be. For me, you know that I have a goal of retiring in August from the lumberyard, not from here, but from the lumberyard. I have this goal that in August I'm going to retire from there. Well, that helps me every day because my knees hurt, my feet hurt, I have to take a leave every once in a while, but I'm thinking ahead. Soon I'm going to retire from that work that is so physically challenging and causes me to have pain. So that helps me. That's a goal that's ahead of me that helps me live every day and move ahead every day. Margaret, you know, cares for our financial stuff at home, for our family. Margaret sets goals in relationship to what is out ahead of us, okay? You know, our furnace went out last night. And the guy was there this morning. He told us what it would cost us to replace the motor on the furnace. And they've been telling us for a couple years we probably need to replace our furnace. Well, you know, to just repair the furnace would probably cost us $800 to $1,000 till they're done. A new furnace is going to cost us $2,700. Well, we think it's time to replace the furnace. You know, Rick said to me this morning when I told him, you know, he said, well, the good news is that you have the provision to do that. And that's right. But we have the provision because my wife, Margaret, has thought ahead constantly about our financial concerns and needs. And so she has seen to it that we save money ahead for emergencies. And so we have some money there to be able to do that. Paul says, press toward the goal. We need to have goals set ahead for us all the time. It's a life attitude that we need to have as part of who we are. As Christ followers, you know, it's to be more like Jesus. This coming year, as I finish, I'm thinking ahead. I'm planning ahead. I want to be more like Jesus as I move on toward that finish line. You know, on the news this week, or last week, again, they were talking about Mother Teresa as a saint and all that she did in her life to impact the lives of others. She was a person who had set a goal of ministry, of caring for people in need, and she did that well. She was like Jesus in many ways in terms of her caring for others. That's one of our goals, to be more like Jesus. And what that means for each one of us is going to be a little bit different. But God wants those kinds of things for us. We want to be more like Jesus as we love others, as we practice compassion, like Mother Teresa. And again, you know, in Sunday school, we talked about what was on the news this week with, you know, Jerry Falwell's son and Liberty University. And if you hadn't heard, you will hear, I'm sure. But there were statements made that we're not compassionate toward others. And as Christians, I believe God calls us to love and care and be compassionate for others. And that's one of the things as we look ahead and plan ahead and push forward in our lives, as we plan toward finishing in a strong way, our love and compassion needs to grow. Our obedience to our Father. What does it mean when God calls us to lives of obedience? What do we need to do yet that will evidence obedience in our lives? How do we need to grow? Well, I don't know about you, but I know there are ways that I need to grow forward and need to set goals toward that. Our grace and our mercy and forgiveness. Is there grace and mercy and forgiveness needed in your family? Is there grace and mercy and forgiveness needed in relationship to someone in this community that we're living with that may not be a family member, but is someone that we know? Where is it that God wants us to go in terms of that? How about our desire for the lost and for those who need salvation? As Christ followers, we need to be setting goals. How can we reach those out there who don't know Him yet, who don't know His grace and mercy, who don't know His love? We need to set those goals. We need to be looking toward those kinds of things. And then Paul also talks about, you know, the reality of what Dad is now experiencing, our eternal reward, heaven. And, you know, we miss him, but we're thrilled that he's there. And Paul talks about that as something, as a goal that we're looking forward to. You know, we can't earn our salvation. We cannot earn heaven. However, we understand, as we understand God's word, that God calls us to obedience, lives of obedience, being like Jesus, constantly choosing God's way and not our way. And all of those things are leading toward that goal that we have, that heavenly goal. And then finally, Paul makes this statement. He says that God will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. And as I think about, you know, the need to take a leave every once in a while, you know, I'm thinking about getting to heaven and having that glorious body and being able to jump and dance and run without that pain. That's what Jeremy's looking forward to. And he's hoping that it will come soon, you know, as a result of doctors helping him. But there's a glorious body that's coming for us. That's part of God's promise. That's part of the goal to which we're looking forward to. Yes, we need to, as Paul says, press toward the goal. Set goals. They're goals of this life, earthly goals, setting budgets, saving money, working, and there are heavenly goals, those goals that relate to our obedience and our relationship with Jesus Christ. So first of all, Paul says, press on toward the goal. And then secondly, he makes this statement. He says, let us live up to what we have already attained. Finishing well. Go forward, not backwards. Don't regress, but progress. Some of us have struggled with addictions and have significant progress in the late last months or year. For those of us who have experienced that kind of reality in our lives, don't regress. Live up to what you have attained and move forward to realize even further gains in relationship to those kinds of things. Paul says, live up to what you have already attained and continue to move forward. Where you've made progress spiritually, don't fall back. Don't go backward. Don't allow yourself to be lazy in terms of your spiritual life. But push ahead. to become even closer in your relationship with God. Live up to what we've already attained. Don't fall back. And then Paul says, look at me and follow my example. I've had coaches in sports and mentors in my ministry life who have all told me that the best I can do to grow forward and get better in terms of my life and my work is to associate with and seek friendships with people who have done greater things than I have done. People who can hit a golf ball better. And that's my son-in-laws. They can both hit golf balls better than me. So I like to play with them, and I always ask them questions. And they probably get frustrated because I can't do what they tell me to do. But it's in living with people who are better than us and who have attained greater things than we have that we grow and we learn and we grow forward. So it's important to us to have friendships and models and examples that we follow. Just like Paul says, follow him and how he has grown and learned and what he has done. We all need examples. We all need mentors. We all need models whom we rub shoulders with and whom we learn from. You know, that's one of the blessings that Margaret and I have appreciated as being part of this congregation. You know, as we came, you were all older than us. Almost all. Not quite. Randall, you're a little younger than we are yet. But as we came, that was part of the reality of coming into this congregation. And Margaret and I say, we're loving it because you are mentors. You are people who make a difference in our lives. I mean, just look around. Yo. Shirley, Carol, for you to be here, you know, you use your walker, you use your cane. You know, just the fact that you're here is an amazing reality of spiritual maturity and faithfulness that we say thank you. You are important. You know, I oftentimes hear older people say, I can't do anything. I'm worthless. No, you are not ever worthless. And none of us is ever worthless because we are an example and a model for someone who's younger than us or who hasn't grown as much as we have. So no matter how old you are, where you are never worthless. You have worth and you have value to me and to others like me. Okay, what's Paul say next? Paul says this. He says, understand there are plenty of bad examples out there. Okay? Paul identifies them as enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, we wonder why people say things they do, why they act the way they do, doing horrible things. Yeah, our kids are here from Rancho Cucamonga, from the Inland Empire, who a month ago, you know, were sitting on pins and needles, and even now are remembering and thinking about those who were killed in that attack at that public place. Why do people do horrible things? Why does that happen? Well, it's sin. It's Satan's work in the world. There are plenty of bad people and bad examples out there. Paul isn't living in a vacuum. He's living in a real world. And he understands that and he knows that. And we know that. That's part of that not looking backwards, not looking to what is in the past. Because sometimes we think, oh, it was wonderful way back then. We're not living then. We're living now. And we have to live with the reality and understanding that that is true of what is happening. Paul says their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. The whole idea is captured in that last phrase. Their mind is set on earthly things. Finish well. What is in your mindset? If it's on earthly things, it ends now. Okay? If something happens to me on the way home, if a car comes across center and hits me head on and I'm gone, it's ended. It's done in terms of this earth. My bank account's Margaret's. It's the kids'. It's not mine. It's done and over. That's this earth. But I have something to look forward to, and that's heaven. But Paul is saying there are lots of people out there who all they live for is that bank account or that next experience, whatever that might be. And believe me, these days, they're talking about experience. The big rage for the last number of years has been on these reality television shows. The reality of the now. That's not what God wants for us. That's not where life really is. That's what those of the world who don't understand the reality of what God has done in Christ Jesus and where we are to live, that's not what that's all about. If our goal is to be like Jesus, to receive the gift of eternal life in heaven, then we keep moving ahead. We look forward. So to finish well is to finish by pressing on. Pressing on. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord and keep pressing on. It's never too late to press on and stand firm. And I wanted to relate that in relationship to several people that we've lost this year in our congregation. The first was Wanda Taylor, who died in February, passed away, gone. One of the last times Margaret and I visited Wanda, it was really the beginning of this year. And one of the things that we just smile about with Wanda was this. You know, Wanda's in the nursing home. She's in a wheelchair in her bed. You know, is not capable of doing much of anything. We asked Wanda, well, what are your goals for the new year? And this was in January. And Wanda said, I want to be a better person. And for all of us who knew Wanda, you know, Wanda was a sweetheart. You know, you wondered, could she get any better than she was? But that was Wanda's goal. She was finishing well, and Wanda finished well. She had that goal to be a better person in that nursing home, in her wheelchair, and in her bed, as she related to the other people who were there and to the people who worked with her. Then, of course, we think of Carla, who's not been gone for long. 2 months now? Yo, Carla. Wow, what a person. You know, she had all kinds of things wrong with her, one of which was Parkinson's. And we know what Wanda was doing. We remember what Wanda was doing and for our family. You know, one of the things Wanda did in relationship to her Parkinson's was she discovered that there were some physical therapy things that could be helpful. And so she got started on some of this stuff. And it wasn't good enough that just she was helped by this. But she started telling everybody that she knew had Parkinson's. Oh, there's this stuff that we can do to help us get better. And so she started a group in her home. And they were meeting and doing physical therapy that she was giving leadership to. And the group got so big that her home wasn't big enough. And, you know, a month before she passed away, maybe 2 months, she came to the church board and said, could we use the church because our group's getting too big? And can we bring them there to do our therapy? And the church said, of course. Carla was looking ahead, setting goals. She was pressing forward. Her life was not easy. It was hard. But she was pressing forward in relationship to the physical things of life. But she was also pressing forward in relationship to the spiritual things. You know, she loved to tell her friends about Jesus. And she loved to tell her friends about her pastor and the sermons that he was preaching and the fact that they could hear them online. And so she had several of her friends who she would call them up after a Sunday, and she would say, "Oh, you've got to listen to this sermon of pastors." And of course, that made me feel good. I'm like you. I like pats on the back. But Carla was pressing it forward. Now, when she went in the hospital for her surgery, we all thought, well, she's going to have this surgery and she's going to get better and she's going to be back with us. Well, it didn't end that way, did it? But Carla finished well. They're great examples of that. Now, Dorcas wasn't feeling well today, so she went home. And I'm sorry that she had to do that because I wanted to talk about her. Okay? Dorcas is 92 years old. And Dorcas is finishing well. One of the things, you know, we don't want to put it on cruise control, no matter where we are in life. Dorcas is 92 and she's not on cruise control. And none of you who are here are on cruise control. Because you're here, you're pushing forward, you're pressing forward. But for Dorcas, it means a couple of things. You know, one of the things here at church is that, you know, we don't have a lot of folks who are available to teach Sunday school classes, but we have children, so we need some Sunday school classes. Well, our insurance company says that we need to have two teachers in a class, and we just don't have that many people. So one of the things they said that we could do is we could have a roving hall monitor. And when Margaret was talking about that, Dorcas said, "Oh, I can do that." And so on Sunday mornings, rather than being in her own class where she'd love to be, she is downstairs being a hall monitor. She's not on cruise control. She's moving forward. And of course, we heard her share her testimony at Thanksgiving. She's read through the Bible this last year. You know, at 92, she's not on cruise control. She's pressing forward. That's called finishing well. The other thing she does, as we know, she talks about it. She walks, and she does this circuit around, you know, the block where she's living there. And she's told us how long it takes her. And every once in a while, she'll say, "Oh, I did 2 miles today, you know, with her cane or walker, and it took me so long." She said, "That's a better time than I had last week." Paul has lots to say to us about living, finishing well, keeping on, pressing toward the goal. None of us know how close we are to the finish line in terms of this life. So one of the things I want to encourage all of us with is set goals, move forward, press ahead. Yo, don't give up what you've already attained, but move on, press forward. Maintain what you've attained and press ahead. Don't put it on cruise control. Your mom is here. She hasn't put it on cruise control yet. You know, we talked about her making the trip to Denver to visit her daughter there, our sister, and then coming here. And we look at her and we think, oh, she's walking with this cane and she's getting pretty frail. Yeah, Mom, you're getting pretty bad off. But she isn't on cruise control yet. And you aren't either. And I know you. I know the kinds of things you struggle with and live with. And I say, praise God for your example to me of that. Thank you. And I say, let's keep going. Keep on. Keep pressing forward. Because God has a wonderful thing for us in heaven. But you know, God has great things for us here too. And so we press on. We make a difference in our lives and other people's lives as we do that. Amen. We're going